This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
And we're back with Geek Squawks. My name is Jeff Sandhu, together with Culture Pop's Matt Armitage. We have a few AI stories. Actually, yesterday, Matt, on Abyss Bytes, we had a lot of AI stories. And this is like a spillover, because I'm just fascinated with the amount of AI stories that are coming out this week. Let me start off
Hang on. So what you're saying is that you're just dumping the rubbish on better programs?
I picked the better stories for our programs and let to yesterday's biz bites to do this.
Because that's how news works.
I just want to do nicer stories with you, Matt. That's the whole reason.
Get on with it.
Yeah. So there's an image, if you go on to newscientist.com, there's an image that's posted on, looks like something that came out from a street in Germany with a few Mercedes cars and traffic lights, pedestrian walking across nice fancy buildings and trees. However, a glance of this photo may seem real, but the truth is, it was actually generated by an AI network. It's stitching together memories of real streets it was trained on. Nothing on this image actually exists. According to Kuefeng Chen, he's the Stanford University in California and also a person in Intel, he said that his AI works from rough layouts that could tell what should be in an image. So this is an impression. It's an AI impression of a street in Germany. But nothing in this picture is real. And even did a video, a montage of a few images that it generated. It's like traveling through the streets of in Germany. You may think that it's actually a real street, but none of these things are real. Yeah. Everything is made up. The AI just created what it would think Germany would look like, a street in Germany would look like.
It's very strange.
We will post this video on the Facebook page. It is strange.
Yeah, it looks almost real, but it has this kind of Inception-like quality to it, this kind of dreamlike quality to it. Yeah.
It's like one of those famous paintings. I can't remember the Starry Nights kind of feel. The video kind of feels like it's one of those Starry Nights kind of painting.
Oh, okay, got you. Yes. Yeah.
So the AI was trained over 3,000 images of German streets. So when it comes across a part of the photo labeled, you know, it was programmed to like, this is where you put a car. It draws its own knowledge of what a German car would look like. And bang, you obviously have a Mercedes sedan. You have I think you see a Porsche here. You have a BMW here as well. But it's just creepy how it is memorizing
kind of,
things and it's learning things and it's generating an image what you think it would be like. And it's just scarily real.
Especially after what we talked about, what we were discussing last week, which was these technologies that can be used to fake news. Now, I know they're saying that this technology can be used for the gaming industry.
It's the VR world.
The VR world, yeah. But when we add it to the technologies we were talking about last week, the ability to create words that somebody hasn't said, the ability to create people speaking, and to create these kind of rich environments. You could have these whole conversations between people that never took place, the people never met, they've never been to those locations. It is quite incredible what we're going to have to do in the very near future to distinguish reality from complete fiction.
This is really scary. They've actually, they're trying to look into doing this something for the next Grand Theft Auto, which is a game that, you know, kind of sets into this fake world, but everything feels real. I'm just feeling that Matrix is really going to happen, and this is, jumping into an AI world.
If you think about it, it might have a positive aspect. So you might have all of these antisocial kids who are going around, you know, knocking old ladies on the head for real, and the video games might be so real to them that they'll prefer to be playing the video games rather than going out and doing nasty things on the street. So rather than video games inspiring people to commit crimes, we might now have the opposite case.
All right. Talking about fun things like video games, I remember DeLorean and Back to the Future. It's obviously one of those things that will run together. If you mention DeLorean, you would think of Back to the Future. If you think of Back to the Future, you think of DeLorean. But the name DeLorean itself could change in the near future because DeLorean Aerospace, it's a company started by Paul DeLorean. He's the nephew of DeLorean Motors mastermind John. He's created a pilotless vertical takeoff and landing, or VTOL, vehicle bearing the family name. VTOL designs aren't meant for the road. It's basically a flying car.
Well, they keep calling everything flying cars, but they don't have wheels. They're not,
no wheels.
They're just they're just small aircraft that people will use instead of cars. So it's not a flying car. Mm-mm. It's just a flying.
Yeah, it's 20 foot long, 18.5 foot wide. The DR7 will have four wings and is designed to build and look like an F1 car.
Yeah, it does look really cool. But I mean, you just mentioned the size, and that's one of the things I have kind of an issue with. So this idea that we're all going to be like flying around in these things. You know what it's like when you go and park at KLCC? There are like thousands and thousands of cars underground. They're not 20 feet long, and they're certainly not 18 and a half feet wide.
And they don't have four wings.
Right. How would that actually work? Where would we all park? You'd literally have to get your thing to hover above, and you'd have to abseil down just leave it kind of in this holding pattern.
Well, the company is working on two scale models for the design now, which are much smaller than the final version, which will be that 20-foot long version. The company is aiming to create the prototype within a year from now. So I guess we will check back 1 year from now on where have this. The thing is, we will not hear about this after a year. We've done so many stories, Matt. Geek Squad's been around for 6.5 years, 7 years. And every time we talk about, oh, this flying car in Holland, this flying car in Germany, it's just gone on as the worst, horrible inventions of the year. At the year end, when we do our wrap-up show.
You would also have to hope that the build quality is slightly better than the actual DeLorean car.
Oh, yes.
Because that was notoriously bad. Ramshackle. Yeah, considering it was, a supercar.
Yeah. Anyways, we'll be right back with Down in the Dumps this week. Oh, dear. We'll be right back. BFM 89.9.
Bringing fresh meaning. BFM 89.9.
And we're back with Geek Squawks. Last week, we had King of the Crowd. This week, we've gone back down in the dumps.
Down in the dumps. Yeah.
Dear.
Well, no, I mean, I'm like I said, I'm on a panel this weekend for Internet of Things. So I have an Internet of Things device, and it is possibly one of the most useless things I have ever seen in my life. This is the world's first smart interactive salt cellar. So it is
a catchy name.
It's called Smalt. That's salt with an M. And what it does is it tracks your salt intake. So you can use it to dispense a portion of salt onto your food, and it will track it via a smartphone app.
I'm on the Indiegogo page here, and it says it's the world's first interactive centerpiece and smart salt dispenser.
Because
why is it a centerpiece?
Because just having a $100 salt cellar is obviously going to be a hard sell. So what they
won't
done,
be on the show as well.
No. What they've done is it would still be in the show.
Oh, really?
Because it's an interactive salt cellar.
Okay, I mean, but what's the interactive part? Like, it's just
because when it dispenses the salt, it sends it to your phone to tell you how much salt you've had, and it tracks your salt consumption over time, even though it ignores the fact that there's salt in the food and you don't actually have to add any more. And it can't track the salt that's already in the food. But anyway, that's completely different. What they've done to make this even less saleable is they have added a Bluetooth speaker and a mood light. So you have a salt cellar that you can choose the ambient light at your table. It will play some tunes for you. I mean, to be honest, yes, if you're the kind of person who needs to track salt, you probably want to have a really ugly looking Bluetooth speaker on your dinner table anyway to really depress your friends. Mm. So this is going to be available. I mean, this is crazy. If you buy into this now, it won't be available until March next year.
Wow! March
so
next year!
By which time, you might have died from your excessive salt intake before you even get the device. Like I said, the early bird price is $99. That does raise in price to $130. This is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Well, it's only about 40% of
backed. The good thing about this is that
it's not a huge amount
of people
thankfully
have backed it. But enough have. They've raised $10,000. So, at $100 a pop, that is how many units? That is 100 units.
Was it last week or a few weeks ago we talked about Z-Time? The hybrid smartwatch.
Yeah, that's right.
Did you know, I did a bit of an investigative journalist here. I found
out...
You
mean you went on the internet?
Yeah, so I went on the internet and I found the person who's creating Smalt has actually backed the Z-Time project on Indiegogo. He's a fan of the project you said is going to be King of the Crowd. He's going to be disappointed because he clearly listens to the show.
No, but they have programs for this kind of thing where they can reference each other and they get like discounts and they can get discounts for each other and that kind of thing. Mm. So I think that's more of a financial thing. I don't think it shows any great confidence in the makers of ZWatch in the smart salt
industry
intake measurement system or whatever it is that SMALT stands for. No, I mean, this thing just needs to not exist.
Okay. Well, something that needs to exist is a pillar that could help you see through things, because Toyota is developing a cloaking device that could help see through car pillars. Matt, you hate driving.
Yeah, I have an issue with this story, and they're calling this a cloaking device when it's actually an uncloaking device.
It's
to help you see through the pillars on your cars.
Yeah.
Whereas a cloaking device usually makes something invisible.
Invisible, yeah.
So that would actually be to turn the entire car into the pillar.
But they're not sort of doing
so
that.
So you'd cloak the entire world.
Yeah, that's true. So what they did was they patented a mechanism or a way of making things appear behind a B-pillar or a C-pillar of your car visible. So you can see pedestrians crossing the road from all angles of the car if you're sitting on the driver's seat. We've talked about this before in how, you know, Volvo trucks and certain, you know, few other trucks have gone on and put cameras around and makes the truck look kind of invisible in that
sense.
Yes,
and also we've had augmented reality systems that were planned where they would put cameras on streets and things so that people could see around 90-degree corners and bends. So where a building is blocking your view, you would have a camera and your AR app would show you a view of what's happening on the other side of that wall. We've also had military cloaking technologies which use projections onto kind of smart fabrics and make it appear that the device isn't there. And I guess this is kind of a little bit like that. It's using mirrors.
Mirrors,
right?
It's using mirrors. So it's not really using the technology that's been done before. I think there was a building that did that invisible building.
Yeah, they've done invisible buildings. Mm. They've done like tanks and things like that. But usually that's, like I said, that's using
cameras and all that.
Cameras and smart fabrics and projections and that kind of thing, yeah.
This is using a mirror that would bend visible light around the object.
They don't go into great detail, and they say if you want to understand it, you can follow this link and it will explain the physics of it.
Yeah.
So I'm imagining that it's not particularly straightforward.
No, and it's also a patent only, so it's just an idea that they have, and you know they just want to bank in on this because it's a much easier and simpler solution, and more.
Well,
it's not as expensive as putting video cameras on your pillars.
Everything starts off as a patent. God started off putting a patent on the world. 7 days later,
one Matt Leisure will be putting a patent up very soon as well. Let's talk about smart cameras, because we're talking about, you know, putting cameras. It's a very expensive way of trying to make a new technology, but there is some usage in using cameras in hospitals.
Well, obviously there's a lot of usage for cameras in hospitals, but no, there's
hygiene purposes.
You know, we talk a lot about, again, Internet of Things and whether these devices will be useful. This one is kind of cool because it's being used to track the hygiene of staff and patients as they move through hospitals. Mm. We've had the emergence of a lot of these superbugs, and apparently the statistic that the New Scientist quotes is that you have a 5% chance of acquiring a serious infection while you're in hospital.
Wow.
Just from the people.
Yeah.
And what they've discovered is that it can often be a small group of people who are most responsible for spreading those infections around. So what the cameras do is see if people are using the hygiene facilities, the gels, the hand washing facilities, and they can track people as they move around the facility and see how often they're using all of these devices. And what they're hoping to do later on is to actually link this up with artificial intelligence systems as well, which can then actually start to plot the spread of potential outbreaks and infections as it moves around these facilities and shut it down. So this is part of these kind of greater integration approaches with cameras and AI, because as well, these same cameras can be used to monitor hallways and see if patients have fallen, and also to to monitor patients, to keep an eye on their vital signs, and to alert a human physician if something is going wrong. Because at the moment, one of the things that we have is that, you know, when someone's hooked up to all of these machines, if something goes wrong, an alarm goes off, and it can take, I think it's, you know, an average of about 90 seconds before people actually get to you.
Yeah.
These machines can actually start to spot the warning signs before you get to that alarm triggering stage, so people can come and adjust your medication or make you comfortable or, you know, do whatever procedures are needed. So this is all part of a new kind of system. So it might sound small starting off with hygiene, but it is actually a really, really crucial part, because as we know from the development of hospitals, it was when they finally persuaded doctors to wash their hands after doing dissections, especially when they went to deliver babies a lot of women would die in labor simply because the doctors had dirty hands. So it's still a very, very significant problem.
All right, so from dirty paws we move on to Geek Tunes.
Yes, well, from dirty paws to dirty paws. This is from the Icelandic band of Monsters and Men. This is from their debut album from 2012. And this is also dedicated to King Jafar and his four dirty paws. Dirty Paws by of Monsters and Men.
BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.